to adore your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Please open our hearts and eyes so that we can see the presence of you. And teach us with your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you. Thank you for your prayers and help and concerns about me after I was infected with COVID. And thank God I'm almost recovered. I mean, full. I'm negative already, but still cough a little bit. Yeah, but I'm okay, and as you can see me today, right? Oops. As we started preaching on Proverbs, we will hear the word wisdom many, many, many times. Actually, it's a word we are quite familiar with. We use it very often, and just now, as Brother Nick was praying, I counted. I think he used at least 3 or 4 times of this word. And we use it very often. Like for example, like when there's a conflict, say it be at home, maybe the different opinions between the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, or in the marketplace, maybe two colleagues have different opinions. If one party is able to turn the conflict into a win-win situation, we will see this person is very wise. Or after a baby was born, we congratulate the young parents, pray that God gives them wisdom, love, and patience so that they can raise up this child in a godly way. And sometimes when students study for exams, we pray that God, please give them wisdom and strength so that they can study hard, they can understand the materials, and they can get good scores. When our friends or family members are seriously ill, we pray that the medical team have wisdom and ability to heal our beloved brothers and sisters. And many times during the pandemic, The governments in different countries had to make tough decisions. We constantly ask God to guide and grant wisdom to the leaders so that they are able to make sound decisions which can be the best for the nations. In all of these scenarios I mentioned, there are different types of wisdoms, some of which are the wisdoms covered in Proverbs, some are not. Today, we are going to focus mainly on verse 2 to 7 in chapter 1, and verse 8 to 19 will also be talked about briefly. We will have a taste of the wisdom in Proverbs, and there will be three parts. The purpose of Proverbs, the foundation of wisdom, and the target audience of Proverbs. As you can see from the screen, verse 2 to 7 is the introduction of Proverbs. It tells us the purpose of the entire book. Verse 2 is an all-inclusive statement. The purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction. And in some translation, instruction also is translated into discipline. And the purpose is also to develop the intellect and the capacity to understand those words or sayings of the sages. The sayings of the sages offer insight into the character and action of God, the operation of this world, and the proper and just functioning of human society. Wisdom enables us to cope with life. Knowing the relationship of behavior and consequences, it entails all the other virtues listed here, like insight, prudence, knowledge, discretion, learning, and guidance. Verse 2 to 7 is also an invitation to a full and complete life, or we say a flourishing life. It emphasizes on the value of present human life, on the desire to experience the fullness of it. Existence is a value of incomparable worth, if lived wisely and well. When we study further on Proverbs, we will spend a couple of months on it. We will learn more about this flourishing life, a life offered by wisdom. For example, longevity, health, meaningful work, significant human relationships, love and charity, access to the essential goods for survival, and even wealth. Honor and respect are all important elements of it. And verse 3 tells us, wisdom is exercised with righteousness, justice, and equity. In Proverbs, wisdom is not a neutral word. It's not a neutral word. It has a moral dimension. Proverbs has been the foundation of ethical teaching of the church. It provides guidance for moral life. The sayings and teachings in Proverbs are not ethical absolute. Okay, to balance the word I said before. Okay, we need to be reminded that Proverbs are the ethical teachings of the church, but at the same time, the sayings and teachings are not ethical absolute. Instead, they encourage critical inquiring spirit with the virtues of prudence, insight, and knowledge. At the same time, moral guidance does not mean a set of strict rules for the church to follow. Moral life is the fruit of true wisdom, the natural outcome of new life brought forth by the gospel. Moral life leads to a harmony with God, with one's community and the order of creation. Moral training and character education is indeed very important. So obviously, the wisdom in Proverbs is not the ability to be outstanding academically or how good your science or technology are. Stability and health of a society does not only depend on economy, technology, and medical competency, but also depends on the values and ethical conduct of individuals. And we all know that Singapore is very famous about its elitism. Lots of parents have deep concerns about children's academic performance. Children are sent to tuition centers from very young. Not only those who have difficulties to cope with their school load, but those who are in the best classes, or even those in the GEP programs. Children and parents are under huge pressure. I still remember that when my son was taking PSLE a couple of years ago, he told me a couple of times, the teacher asked the whole class, you know, any students had sleeping problem. And then the teacher passed them some oil, jingyou, you know, to help them to sleep well. But this is one thing, and we all know that the wisdom in Proverbs is not really about this academic excellence we are pursuing. And in the past couple of years, some parents already woke up from this type of unnecessary stress and competition. They stopped pushing their children very hard, and they also try to take off some load from their own shoulders. And they switched parenting goal to children's health and happiness. But without building up their children's characters and discipline, if happiness and health becomes the ultimate goal of our parenting, the outcome is also quite worrisome, because our children might become self-centered, and there might be some difficulties for them to connect with others. Chinese kindergarten, the kindergarten Jubilee has a strong connection with, started a course from 2018. It's called SED lesson. Stands for social and emotional education. Social and emotional development. This lesson teaches children values such as kindness, obedience, thankfulness, honesty, acceptance, and resilience. The school told the parents, as we have noticed that our society has become more and more complex, our young children were influenced by inconsistent values promoted in the media. We are concerned and hope to cultivate preschool children with the values of co-charge competencies. Co-charge is the short form of all the values I mentioned just now. And this moral dimension of the wisdom leads us to the second part of my sermon today, the key verse of the introduction, which is verse 7. And it is the foundation of Proverbs. The beginning to this wisdom we talked about just now is the fear of the Lord. To pursue the wisdom of life, to know the skill of living, one must confess that God is the creator and sustainer of life, and the source and provider of all wisdom. Fear of the Lord involves two aspects at the same time, the rational aspect and the non-rational aspect. Its rational aspect contains God's revelation that can be taught and memorized, such as the law, the commands, the ordinance of God, and which we are quite familiar with. Fear of the Lord motivates people to right behaviors, the moral conduct accepted in society. The non-rational aspect entails an emotional response of fear, love, and trust. In the act of creation, God uses divine wisdom to design and order a cosmos of justice to shape and regulate human institutions. God has established orders for life which make existence possible and worthwhile. God is the Lord of justice, which enables the well-being and harmonious existence of creation, society, and individuals. Karl Barth, the very famous theologian, once said in one of his sermons, he said that he explained what is the true fear of the Lord. And at the, so I quote here, what he said in his sermon. At first, he addressed that what is false fear of the Lord. He said the false fear of the Lord is an anxiety. We are afraid of God because he is so great and mighty, and we are so small and weak. We are afraid that he will accuse us like an oversized giant prosecutor, and that he will judge us like some skyscraping chief justice. We may also be afraid of God because he might send us forever to hell at the end of our days. And after this, he started to talk about what is real, what is the true fear of the Lord. He said, when the right fear of the Lord takes possession of our hearts, we are both lost in amazement and struck by awe, even terror. For we discover that God, since the beginning of time, has not hated or threatened you and me, but has loved and chosen us, has made a covenant with us, has been our helper long before we knew it, and will continue this relationship. Brothers and sisters, this is the right fear of the Lord. It unified the two poles of our emotion, two opposite poles of our emotion, love and fear, perfectly. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Beginning suggests that God is the source of wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom through study of Proverbs is founded on the reverence of God. At the same time, as shown on the screen, the fear of the Lord is also the ultimate goal of wisdom. In the journey of study or deepening of wisdom, the most valued and important virtue is reverence for the Creator and Sustainer of all. And so far, we discussed the purpose of Proverbs, the moral dimension of wisdom, and the key and ultimate goal of pursuit of wisdom. Now let's look at the target audience of this book. In verse 4 and 5, the target audience are two groups of people, the simple and young, the wise and mature. The simple and young are those who lack sense. They are not good at reasoned thinking, making prudent judgment, and engaging in moral actions. If they are not trained in the way of wisdom, the simple are easily deceived by the evildoers and ended up with disastrous fruits. The simple needs to be taught three things: prudence, knowledge, and discretion. Prudence enables one to make sound decisions, to speak wisely, and to take proper actions. And knowledge. Knowledge is information about moral values for proper and ethical conduct, character and workings of God, and about the world, society, and human beings. Discretion is the ability to know when and how to speak and behave in upright ways, so that the speech and action can be beneficial to the individual and to the community. And follow the introduction, verses 8 to 19 gives the first direct example of teaching the simple and young. The parents called their son to listen to their instruction, which is a warning against the enticement of sinners who obtain unjust gain by violence. The three do not clearly and directly prohibit the young from joining them, because this is a path leading to death and destruction. And from here, we can see that the basic moral training, maybe the beginning of moral training, is to tell children right and wrong. If we as a parents don't give them instructions and guidance, they will not know what is right and what is wrong, what is accepted in the society. When I taught the SED lesson in a Chinese kindergarten, once I asked them, why do you need to obey your parents? Why do you need to obey your teachers? And you know, there's a five-year-old boy. He said, because adults are this. And we sometimes with this, sometimes we are this. And I think he give a, what he's trying to say is, adults know what is right and wrong. And for children, sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. And so, brothers and sisters, it's our job to teach the simple and young. It's our job to teach. It's our responsibility to teach our children. And 2 weeks ago, my family joined an outing organized by Matthew Zone. We went to the Salata Wetland, and we had a great time. We took a bus there, and then we stayed there for like about 2 hours. And then we went to a hotel for a very wonderful lunch. After walking there for, I think we stayed there more than 2 hours. So after walking there, you know, and playing on that day, I think totally we have more than 10 children with us. So the children were very happy, you know, after the long pandemic, and it's the first big outing organized by the church. And so the children were running around and then walked a lot. And so during lunchtime, everybody's very hungry. And I sat next to a mommy, and then to her right is her 10-year-old son. And so everybody was very hungry, and we are, you know, so eager to take our lunch. And when the food started to be served, the boy, of course, you know, everybody wants to take the food, but the mommy told the boy, a 10-year-old boy, the mommy said, let the elders take the food first. And the boy listened. The boy just waited there quietly. And I'm very happy for this family, you know. And I think that's a very good example for training our children, for educate our children in the right way. And if we go back to verse 5, surprisingly, the second group of target audience are the wise and mature. Proverbs offer an opportunity to the wise and mature to study further, to add to their learning, to acquire the knowledge and skill. Proverbs never say that, okay, you are enough, you graduated from the wisdom school, and you are all set. No. This means wisdom is not obtained once and for all. Pursuit of wisdom is a lifelong journey. Prayer, meditation, church rituals, and reflection on the nature and activity of God are the spiritual disciplines we should engage day after day, month after month, year after year. So brothers and sisters, as for all of us who is listening to this sermon today, either you are here or watching the live stream at home, either you are simple or young, or wise and mature, we all are the target audience of Proverbs. And may this study of our church not only increase our head knowledge, but also bring us closer to God, our Creator and Sustainer, and change our hearts to be the right soil for His wisdom. Amen.